So this morning for our scripture reading for today, go back to an Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. We have 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and immediately following that is 1 Chronicles and then 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And I am going to read verses 3. Actually, I'll start at verse 2. Verse 2, yes. Chapter 31, 2 Chronicles 31. Second Chronicles, and again, I am going to read, start at verse 2 through around verse 12. So, if you have your place, I know we don't go back to the Old Testament too often, so have your place. 2 Chronicles 31. We there? We good? Okay, let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. An interesting story. It starts like this with verse number 2. Hezekiah assigned the priests and Levites to divisions, each of them according to their duties as priests or Levites, to offer burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, to minister, to give thanks, and to sing praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. The king contributed from his own possessions for the morning and evening burnt offerings and for the burnt offerings on the Sabbaths, new moons, and appointed feasts as written in the law of the Lord. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and Levites, so they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. The men of Israel and Judah who lived in the towns of Judah also brought a tithe of their herds and flocks, and a tithe of the holy things dedicated to the Lord their God, and they piled them in heaps. They began doing this in the third month and finished in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and his officials came and saw the heaps, they praised the Lord and blessed his people Israel. Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites about the heaps, and Azariah, the chief priest from the family of Zadok, answered, "Since the people began to bring their contribution to the temple of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare, because the Lord has blessed his people, and this great amount is left over." Hezekiah gave orders to prepare storerooms in the temple of the Lord, and this was done. Then they faithfully brought in the contributions, tithes, and dedicated gifts. Conaniah, a Levite, was in charge of these things, and his brother Shimei was next in rank. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what do we learn from this wonderful story here that we read about in the Old Testament? We learn about people giving, and how does that pertain to us? How does that apply to us here today? Lord, we want to become knowledgeable and more understanding of your word here today. So we ask, Lord, that the scripture once again speak to us. Father, here today, I want to say that I want to hide behind the cross and proclaim your word, Lord, the way that the Spirit has led me to speak here this morning. And so, Father, as always, you will get the honor and glory for what we all learn here today. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. So we're in week number 2 in the sermon series on financial giving. And I know it's a tough subject, but I feel like as a pastor, that every pastor, there's several different topics that a pastor should always put in front of their congregation. The most important is salvation. We should always know how to get saved, right? Amen? That's always a good one. The second one is always forgiveness. That's always a good one because I think we can always learn great lessons about forgiveness. And the third one should be giving. because quite often we just, it's a topic that's not brought up very often. It's a topic that's brought up too often in some churches, but we're going to be bringing it up here again this year for this summer for a couple Sundays. How does a Christian blend money with giving to God? And I will just tell you this, that this was probably the topic that turned me away from church back in 1976. And I said goodbye to church, goodbye to God, goodbye to religion, goodbye to everything. But it's a topic that still needs to be talked about. And I'll talk about more about my experience when we continue this here in a couple weeks. Last week we discussed the story about a woman that we found and written about in Luke chapter 21, 1 through 4. And it's a story about a widow who put 2 copper coins into the temple treasury. And these 2 coins were all that she had to live on, Jesus said. And as I said last week, most preachers, when they preach from this text of Scripture, will say that when it comes to financial giving, we need to follow the example of this widow. She gave sacrificially, and we need to give sacrificially like she did. But we looked at it from a rather different perspective last week. We did a closer study of it, and we concluded by looking at Scripture before that and after that, that Jesus was really pointing out how the religious leaders at that time were devouring widows' houses, and that this widow was a victim of a very corrupt religious system. And her giving really had no bearing on how we should give today. And I said, if it did, then we all need to give everything. And I don't think you want me to tell you that, so I'm not going to say that. So today we're going to look at other scriptures for some direction on financial giving. Well, if you spent any time growing up in a church, especially a Protestant-related church, you have probably heard of the word tithe or tithing. And that is when a person gives 10% or a tithe. That's what tithe means, 10% of their income to the church. The example I like to give is very simple. If you make $10 an hour and you work 40 hours a week, in 1 week, you make $400. Nice, easy numbers. If you were to give a tithe of that amount of the net, you would give 10% of that or $40 to the church. And that is usually the example or an example that churches will give. I want to challenge that. I want us to look at that with a different set of eyes here this morning. Is this sound biblical teaching for New Testament people today? Should Pastor Mike be standing here in front of a congregation, or should any pastor be standing in front of his congregation demanding that all the congregants give 10% of their income to the church? We'll discuss that a little bit more in 2 weeks. Today, what we're going to do is this. We are going to investigate the biblical history of this thing that's called the tithe, the 10%. And to do that, we need to look at the Old Testament to see what that has to teach us. First, we're going to be looking at 2 periods of time. The first, we're going to look at from creation, the beginning of time, Genesis 1:1, all the way through the beginning of the law, when Moses was given the law by God, which in this case is going to be somewhere around Leviticus chapter 27. And then we're going to look at a second period of time, which is from when the law was given to Moses, around, again, Leviticus 27, up until the beginning of the New Testament, which arguably, let's just say that that's going to be with the resurrection or the birth, resurrection of Jesus slash the birth of the church, somewhere around Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at different various acts of giving, and we're going to be segregating these acts of giving that we read about in the Old Testament between mandatory giving and voluntary giving. Now, I'm going to be saying this twice here this morning. I'm going to say it now, and I'll say it at the end of the message. It's extremely important that we know and that we understand the Old Testament history behind the tithe, this 10% giving, so we can better understand how we can apply that knowledge to us New Testament people today. So, the first part, from creation to the law, the only mention of mandatory giving that is given anywhere between Genesis 1:1 and Leviticus 20:27 is in Genesis chapter 41, where Joseph suggests to the Pharaoh that all the people give one-fifth, or 20%, of all their grain to the Pharaoh, because if you remember your story, what's going to happen? There's going to be a famine in the land. For the next 7 years, there's going to be a famine. And Pharaoh says, how am I going to be able to, what are we going to do? And Joseph says, let's give 20%. If everybody gives 20% of their grain, let's put it in storehouses. And we'll have enough grain for the next 7 years. And if you remember, during those next 7 years, there was a famine. And what happened? Remember Jacob and the other sons, they came to Egypt. Hey, we hear that there's grain in Egypt. And there was, because they had the grain there. It was sort of like a taxation system. We need to do this. We need to provide for ourselves in the future years. But that is the only mention of any kind of mandatory giving that is given to us from the Bible. There's many instances of voluntary giving. Let's talk about those. In Genesis chapter 4, we know that Cain and Abel both brought offerings to the Lord. Was it a tithe? We don't know. It doesn't say specifically how much it was. Was it required by God? It doesn't tell us that it was. It doesn't say that God ever told them to give anything. So I look at that as a voluntary giving. In Genesis chapter 8, Noah took every clean animal and bird and offered them to the Lord after the ark landed on the mountains of Ararat. Was it a tithe? No, it wasn't. But it was 100% of the clean animals and birds that Noah had set aside. Was it required by God? No. God never told Noah to give this. It was strictly a voluntary act. We move to Genesis 14. Abraham gives this man Melchizedek, who is the priest of Salem, a tenth of everything, which was the spoils from the war that Abraham had just fought and won. Was it required by God? No, it wasn't. God never told him to do it. It was voluntary. Abraham wanted to give this man Melchizedek 10% of everything. What's interesting is this, and we're going to talk about this story again in 2 weeks when we talk about New Testament giving. He gave 10% to Melchizedek. But many people forget that he gave the other 90% back to the king of Sodom. We'll bring that back up in a couple weeks. In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob is bargaining with God. And Jacob offers God a tithe, 10% of all that he had to God. If God will be with him, if you will be with me, God, I'll give you 10% of what I got. Was it required by God? No. God never told him to do it, and it was voluntary. And one more. Genesis chapter 35, Jacob pours out a drink offering to the Lord at Bethel. And was it a tithe? We don't know. We do know that it was voluntary on the act of Jacob. God never told him to do it. So if we go from Genesis 1:1 all the way up to Leviticus 27, any acts of giving that we see in those times, the only mandatory act is in Exodus, or excuse me, was in Genesis 41, back in Egypt with Joseph, and it was not mandated at all by God. And every act of voluntary giving was an offering, and the amount that the giver gave was up to what the giver wanted to give. So let's talk about the second period of time. Now we go from the law, the Mosaic law that was given by God to Moses, to the time of Jesus and the beginning of the New Testament. We need to remember this. Israel was what we call a theocracy. God was the king of Israel. He was the ruler of Israel. About 3 months after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and started wandering in the desert, Moses was given this thing called the law by God directly to him. And it's in this Mosaic law where we really hear the word tithe being mentioned in a kind of a different sort of way. Was there now mandatory tithing? Yes, there was. Was it mandatory? Was it mandated by God to give this 10%? Yes, it was. It was part of the law for the nation of Israel. Now, there are three fill-in-the-blanks in your bulletin. Actually, you don't even have to write anything if you don't want, but I just wanted to point these out. There are three tithes that are mentioned in the Old Testament that the Israelites need to perform on a regular and ongoing basis. The first we're going to find in Leviticus 27, 30 through 34, and again in Numbers 18, 21 through 32. Now, I'm not going to read them to you. You can go back and read them at your own time. But the first one says this, that the Israelites were to give a tithe. They were supposed to give 10% of everything from the land to the Lord in support of the Levites, because the Levites inherited no land and they were to perform all the priestly duties. Since they weren't given any land, they didn't have any way to produce any income of their own. So everybody else who was not a Levite was to give to the Levites, and it was required. It was mandatory. They had to do this, to give to the Levites. Give 10% of your first fruits from your land to the Levites. So we know that there's one tithe. There's 10% that the Israelites had to give right there. We move on to Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 27. And the Israelites were supposed to give another 10%, another tithe. And what was this for? This one's kind of interesting. It's for national festivals. God was going to choose the place for all the Israelites to gather on a regular basis, and they were going to celebrate what the Lord has done for the nation Israel. And it says in those scriptures, if the place was too distant, they could exchange their tithe for silver, go to the place that was designated, and from there buy cattle, sheep, wine, and other fermented drink, or anything you wish. You were supposed to give another 10% so the nation Israel could have a party. Now that's not bad. Let's all pull our ties together so when God announces that we need to go somewhere, we're going to go and have a good time. That's the kind of God I like to serve. But that was the second tithe. So now we have two tithes. We have one tithe that was mandatory to give to the Levites. We had a second 10% to give to the nation Israel so we could then have food and drink and all kinds of things, so that when the nation came together to celebrate God, they would have things there. So now we're up to 20%. And there's a third tithe. And this one's right after that one in Deuteronomy 14, 20 and 29. The Israelites were supposed to give another 10%. But they were supposed to do this one every 3 years. And why were they supposed to give this 10%? For the aliens, for the fatherless, and for the widows, so that they could come and eat. These people, the fatherless, the aliens, the widows, they were probably in a position where they could not do anything for themselves. We would call a program like that today welfare. And we do call a program like that today welfare. We give our taxes to a government and they provide for certain people who cannot provide for themselves. And that's another issue that I don't want to get into right now. But the way that the Israelites were supposed to do that back then was every 3 years, they were supposed to give 10%. So if you kind of break that down, if you do it every 3 years, it's almost like giving 3.3% every year. So now your mandatory giving as an Israelite was about 23.3% of what you had owned. that you needed to give to the nation of Israel. Now, that was all the mandatory giving. It was in the law of God. You had to do this as an Israelite, because who was the king? Remember who was the king? God was the king. Israel was a theocracy. Do we see any voluntary giving? Yes, we do. We find some voluntary giving. And I find it interesting that in Exodus 25, verses 1 through 2, that the Lord wanted Moses to build a tabernacle. We all know about the tabernacle. It was a rather ornate place of meeting, the tent of meeting. So Moses asked the people to give an offering, and he says this, from each man whose heart prompts him to give. And that's all we ask. If your heart prompts you to give, give. Give voluntarily. Later in Exodus chapter 36, verses 4 through 7, Moses had to tell them to stop bringing their offerings because they had more than enough. One instance of voluntary giving. And a second one from 1 Chronicles 29. We read that King David was getting supplies ready to build the temple, and the temple to the Lord that Solomon would end up building. In verse number 6 of Chronicles 29, King David asked for people who are willing to give. Who's willing to give to this temple that we need to build? In verse 9 of Chronicles 29, it says that the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. So, what are we to conclude from all of this Old Testament scripture that we read about tithes and tithing and mandatory and voluntary giving? Well, we do know this, that after the law, about 23.3% tithing, giving, was instituted by God. And yes, it was mandatory for the nation Israel to give this. And every act of voluntary giving was an offering, and the amount that the people wanted to give was up to how much the giver wanted to give. So, this is the history of the tithe as is founded in the Old Testament. It's really quite that simple. It's what the Israelites had to do. And remember, it's extremely important to know this Old Testament history of the tithe so we can better understand how to apply that knowledge of this to New Testament people like us today. So, next week, we'll talk more about tithing and really get to the crust of it. What is our obligation? How do we blend money and God and church together? And what should we be giving? And we're going to use this text of tithing as a springboard to get into that. So, let's go to God in prayer here this morning.